KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, presents the Monday Morning Quarterback. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Souter, Aaron Harder, and Marcus Urkel.
And a gorgeous Monday morning to all. Welcome to the Monday Morning Quarterback. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Got a packed house in studio. Good morning, Marcus Urkel.
What is happening, Mr. Harder?
Not much. Great day, though.
Good day to be a Hornet.
It is a good day to be a
Hornet.
It's always
a good day to be a Hornet.
Joining us in studio, Blake Cripps, voice of the Hornets. Good morning, Blake.
How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
It was a wild weekend, but boy, a lot of fun for Hornet fans and multiple sports.
Anybody feeling better than the other guy joining us in studio?
I don't think so. How many people do you think have touched that beautiful trophy to your right there?
Good morning, Coach Seiler, women's soccer MIAA champions.
Good morning, everyone. I think that trophy has made the rounds.
we'll find out from one of the players. Good morning, Steve Souter. He's joining us.
Hey, good morning. I'm sorry I'm not there, but Brian, congratulations. What a great turnaround. What a great season this is turning out to be.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, it's been an interesting season and a roller coaster ride for sure, but I got a great bunch that knows how to step it up when they need to.
And also joining us, one of your great bunch, the all-time MIAA goals leader and all-time MIAA scoring leader, Mackenzie DeMarco. Good morning, Mackenzie.
Good morning, everyone.
Has it all sat in yet?
Oh, for sure, but I'm just getting ready for the next games mentally.
Mackenzie, talk about the season as a whole, just in general. You guys started out rough. You made a trip to Florida, played some good teams, and then came back and You guys had a losing record for a little while there, and then MIAA season starts, and we haven't lost in forever now. Just talk about the season as a whole.
We had a rough start, obviously, but once we switched our formation, we found a place that kind of fit everyone better, and we were able to connect better as a team, and then we started scoring in other ways, you know, besides, like, these breakaway runs that only happen every so often, and we just played as a team, and once we do that, really we're unstoppable and can beat any team if we play our best.
Coach, we were doing some research, Don and I, as we were driving back. I'm not sure if you or anybody was aware of this. Don was not. You guys have won 8 matches. That is a program record, 8-match winning streak. Has never happened before, and I remember coming into your office there, making my rounds in September, and think you said, "Man, I hope we just make the tournament at this point." Did you ever have any wavering in your belief in how good this team could be?
I knew we could be good, and I knew coming into this year we had it all. We really don't have any weaknesses. We don't have a lack of experience in any part of the field. You know, when you look at Mackenzie and Hadley starting to score consistently too, I mean, from a wing, she's really embraced that role and been a second scorer for us. So, you know, Mackenzie doesn't have to do it all, but she definitely has her moments. And when we really, really need a goal, that's where you really rely on someone like Mackenzie, because she can get it for you. And that's hard to do because everyone knows she's there. You know, and they still can't stop her. But I think we're well balanced. We have good players and good depth this year, actually, too. Our subs have done a great job. So I think it was never an issue about, you know, what we had on our roster. It was just finding the right chemistry, the right lineup, the right shape. And then just so much is about believing. It's so much about believing. And so once we started to believe, we've just been a whole nother level.
Mackenzie, anybody that's played sports knows that making changes mid-season is not an easy task to do. Talk about how important it is to have veteran leadership on your team to be able to make a change like you did, and then, of course, to make it work.
Just returning almost everyone and then adding new great players, we knew what we had and we knew that something wasn't working and that we just needed to make the slightest little adjustment to make everything work and to make that chemistry happen and to make that formation work for us and be able to bring those new players into the old chemistry that we have so that we can keep moving forward and get better.
And the streak itself, it's crazy to think when we went 19-3-1 that one year in 21 that we didn't have that, but I'm sure we had some a tie maybe.
It was seven. Was
or it was separated. So, and the thing about that streak is that look who we played in our last four. The number one team in the region, the number nine team in the region, the number one team in the region again, and the number three team in the region.
And you so you've got, yeah, in terms of the regional rankings, you kind of just piled up the top 10 regional wins there to end the year, Coach.
Yeah, that's it's our points have – our strength of schedule is the highest in the region, and it's not really that close, our strength of schedule. Because of the gauntlet we had to run through at the end, and also because of our pod in that we play twice. So every other team plays their own pod twice, and our pod had three of the four final four teams in it. So there's an extra three games we're getting, you know what I mean? So it all kind of added to our numbers just going through the roof. And so we'll see what happens tonight. We've really risen up further than we thought. But
yeah, let's talk about that because obviously we were excited about the trophy sitting right there. But it's not over. So tell us what we're expecting to see here.
I mean, yeah, you got to understand this team made it to the Sweet 16. And so we were in penalty kicks. So we were right there, you know, to win a regional, you know, and
we'll find out
Brian,
tonight.
Can you speak up?
Oh, sure, Steve.
Yeah, ESU watch party tonight at Kossover Family Tennis Center. Doors open at 5. The video, the NCAA will start releasing the regional matchups at 5:30. Open to the public. That's when you'll find out where and who you'll play for the first round, the round of 64. Those games will be either Thursday and Friday. The first round game will be either Thursday or Friday this week, correct?
It'll be Friday.
It's going to be Friday?
Definitely
okay.
Friday.
Okay.
Not Thursday. Friday, Sunday.
Okay. Our region is Friday, Sunday.
Right. So we have two groups of four, the top two host, and then whoever comes out of that group of four will go to the Super Regional, which is not in our region this year. It was last year because Bemidji hosted it. So this year it goes to the other region we cross over with, which is the Grand Valley, Michigan, and
okay,
that region. I couldn't tell you all the teams, but that's the region.
Mackenzie, how fun is this night? How excited are you just for the watch party? And I mean, obviously we understand that you're not done and you know that, but how exciting is tonight and how excited is the team for this?
I'm very excited personally. I know the team's excited. Looking back at the beginning of the season, I didn't know where we would be, you know, come this time. And mid-season even, we were like, are we going to make it? And so it's just huge to be here. And there's going to be crazy movements in the region. So I'm excited for it.
Mackenzie, you said after the match when we talked on the field, I said, you know, Hannah gave you that ball. What did you kind of see on that play? And, Coach, I don't know if you had heard but or seen the interview, but you said she blacked out and didn't know what had happened. So, Mackenzie, have you been able to see a replay to see how that all transpired on that game-winning kick?
Yeah, I've watched it. I don't even know how many times.
Yeah, it was a. Can you talk about the perspective that you had to watch that play, Coach, on that touch, and then
go back a little bit. I mean, that game's a scoreless first half,
right?
With five shots,
yeah. With not that much offensive action, a couple set pieces for each team, and not much happening. And then you come out of the locker room, and they score in a minute or a minute and a half. And you're down 1-0. It did not take long, Mackenzie, for you girls to come back and tie it up and then take the lead immediately. Just talk a little bit about what your attitude was coming out at halftime, and then they score and not just immediately getting deflated?
Just during halftime, we talked about we were 45 minutes away from a championship, and I feel like the anger carried over from last season, how we were cheated out of two trophies, and we watched other teams hold them up, and that should have been us. So we were coming out there with all the momentum in the world, and even though they scored in the first minute, 2 minutes, we were able to continue to work hard, and because there was so much time left, and anything can happen, obviously, in the matter of minutes.
It was a roller coaster. It's funny how the game evolves, and it was two totally different halves. I think people after the first half were like thinking, wow, if you watch the first half, you're probably at halftime, you're saying one goal's going to win this one. I mean, that's the way it looked in the first half, and that wasn't the case, you know. So I think in soccer, when you play somebody multiple times, the second game could be a totally different game than the first game. And I think the same thing is for a half, you know, and that's the case. That's what it looked like. A roller coaster ride for sure. If you can bottle that energy and that we had to not only come back and tie it, but take the lead in that time, if you can bottle that somehow and use it in other times, that would be great. But you can't do that.
Well, I kind of felt like you did. It's not that we played any different. I mean, they went up and scored. And then we come back, a great ball by your left back to Hadley for a finish. And then McKenzie comes back and just hits an absolute rocket about a minute and a half later. And,
right.
And then you're looking at the clock and you're like, this is going to be the longest 40 minutes of our lives.
And it was.
And it was. And Central scores there really late with eight to go, and they tie it up. And as a crowd, you're thinking, well, momentum's on there. Let's just get to overtime. And then This is probably going to be a penalty kick game. But both times Central scored, your girls responded immediately.
Right.
So what time? How much time was left? I watched the highlights, but it didn't have the time. What was the last goal? How much time?
McKenzie scored at the 87 and a half mark.
Time. Okay.
Yeah. It was. If we would have allowed one after that, I would have.
That's got to be the longest.
It was the longest 2 minutes of my life.
Yeah, I was going to say that's got to. And I don't watch a ton of soccer, but I know that when you get that lead and there's 2 minutes left and you're just like, man, just hold on. It's almost like prevent defense in the NFL.
It is.
You don't
exactly
like
what
prevent
it is.
Defense in the NFL, but in soccer, you just kind of just keep it away from the goal as much
it's
as
hard,
possible.
Yeah.
Take your time on throw-ins.
And as much as you try, it just seems like it'll find its way back down there.
McKenzie, there were a lot of corner kicks, and Coach, you can answer this too maybe as well, but they out-corner kicked you guys a lot, so you guys had to play very well against in terms of corner kick defense, and you held them out of the goal even though they had a lot of opportunities there late. So, McKenzie, what was the key, do you think, to limiting their opportunities? And you know, they had a couple of good looks off the corner kick, but a lot of them you guys were able to shuffle aside and make them play a little bit more for them.
Any team can be dangerous on a corner kick. You know, you have that one player, maybe multiple players that can just get to the ball. So, and we know that UCM is able to do something like that, but we've been defending corners better towards the end of the season and have been able to clear them out. And so we've really been working on moving to the ball and moving as a team, not just individually. And that's really helped. And with time and the more corners that come against us, yes, it's frustrating, but we're building confidence that we can get these corners out.
I remember the Central Missouri game that you guys played them at the pitch, and it was kind of I don't remember the exact wording that you used, but it was kind of like a scrappy, just kind of bounce all around, almost like a hockey goal that goes in, bouncing off of two guys. But you said in that match, in post game, like, we gave up all these corner kicks in a row and three and four, and just, you know, you do that too many times against a good team, and sometimes it burns you. But you didn't let it burn you this time. So she mentioned that your corner kick defense has improved throughout the year. What do you think has allowed you guys to be better against the corner kick?
I mean, I think it's just getting the first touch. Everything is about getting the first touch on the ball. It's just the way it is, whether it's our keeper coming out, you know, being aggressive, you can't be a sitting duck in the goal. You got to come out and try to. You have an advantage. Use your hands. So, a lot of it's the keeper getting the first touch or us getting the first touch. Even if it's not clearly out on your first touch, it's going to be somewhere else that the offense wasn't expecting. So, it kind of just takes them out of their rhythm a little bit. But yeah. I think we've just been touching the ball first more. And, you know, we understand how big – I mean, this is what games come down to. We scored two against Washburn on corners. You know, we wouldn't have won that game. So, yeah, big part of the game for sure.
McKenzie, take us back real quick. Oh, go ahead, Steve.
I got a question for McKenzie. Talk a little bit about how and why you became a Lady Hornet.
Well – Coach messaged me pretty early on into the recruiting process.
Probably illegally, right? No, I don't think.
easy, Coach Harbaugh. Just calm down.
The day after.
No.
But we just kind of set up a visit, and he told me a little bit about the school, and I came up there, and I actually didn't even meet the team at that time, but I left there, and I just had a good feeling, and it kind of just felt like home, and I loved the community. I loved the size of the school, and I just knew that I could make a difference at this program.
Well, we're really glad you came, McKenzie. So you know,
it was probably smart to not have you meet the team too. If you would have met Joe, you probably wouldn't have came.
Well, Joe came in with McKenzie.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
If they would have came on the same recruiting visit, you might not have came. Talk a little bit about your class. It's a pretty special class, McKenzie.
It is.
Yeah, so grateful for the girls I got to come in with, even the ones that are no longer on the team. I'm still close with them and talk to them quite often. And, you know, like, these girls are possibly be bridesmaids, friends for life. And just it's great to be able to have a bond with them, not only on the field, but this class has really made a difference.
McKenzie, I want to go back to a game because – just because I don't know soccer well enough, Thursday's game compared to yesterday's game, you're up 3-0, or Saga Saturday's game. It's Monday now. You're up 3-0, and tell me how that feels compared to a game where you're going back and forth with Central. With Washburn, you're up 3-0, and then they come back and it's 3-2 with, I want to say, 6-7 minutes left. Is that about right?
I think so, yeah.
Talk about how it's different being up 3-0 playing a second half compared to going back and forth with a team like Central. What's that feeling like, and how do you just kind of play differently?
When you're up, it's just you have that mentality of like, okay, we've got this. We just got to hold them off. But then you also get cocky, and like teams can come back on you because you're getting ahead of yourself, and you're like, oh, we've got this in the bag. You know, we're up 3 goals. They have to score 4 to win, 3 to tie. Like, that's not going to happen. And then you have a game that you're going back and forth, and both teams just have the momentum, and it's just shifting. And the game is just much more intense because the teams are trying to hold each other off and catch up versus when you're in the lead, you're kind of relaxing more.
Coach, do you play different when you're up 3-0? Do you just try and get the ball away from your goal as much as possible and stop trying to score, or do you stay aggressive?
Definitely sub more, I can tell you that. I mean, I took the rhythm out of that second half against Washburn. I was subbing just like crazy every time, and it's like the ball's out, we're waiting, the ball's out, we're waiting. You know, so that kind of took the rhythm away. So I think you slowed the game down more. When you're up like that, when you're up one even late, you do the same thing. It's just so you know, it's a little different when you're up 3 and when you're up 1. So I think you just slow the game more and just, again, you're not necessarily trying to score when it's 3-0, so you're playing a little differently. But when you're at 1, yeah, you're trying to get that because it's huge, the 2.
Right.
You know, big difference. Like, for example, I'll use McKenzie as an example. I don't know exactly when it was, but it was after they scored to make it. She had a chance to make it a 2-goal lead again. We did. I forget. She got on the break and the goalie made a save.
Against UCM?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 45 seconds left.
Yeah, it was shortly thereafter.
Yeah. So, I mean, McKenzie, she could have took it to the corner, you know, but we could get a goal. We get the second goal, and then the game's really over, right? So, I mean, that happened obviously really late, but the same thing, same concept in her head with 5 minutes left. You're trying to extend the lead, and that's what she made the right play.
Yeah.
You know, she made the right decision to try to get up by two.
That was a good save by the keep.
Yeah.
Coach, you talked about this class, and I wanted to ask what it's meant for you. You're going into the NCAA tournament here, third straight year, fourth time in program history. All have been within the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. What has this class helped to do in terms of changing the culture and the expectations of Lady Hornet soccer?
I mean, they've changed everything. I mean,
look to your right.
I mean, yeah.
Pretty good.
I don't think, you know, there's nothing like a team championship. I mean, these girls are going to be celebrated one day, be brought back for Hall of Fame induction, you know, everything else. Breaking every record. McKenzie, I mean, no one, she broke not just conference records, but, you know, this is a national level. You know, some of her records are they're insane. But I'm sure if she valued one thing the most, she's going to say, you know, winning a championship, you know, with your teammates, because you get to share that with people, you know. So anytime you can share something with people, that just makes it more special. So
McKenzie, you're going to say this championship over the golf class you took while you were at DSU?
I loved that class.
Oh, thank you, McKenzie.
But, for recruiting, this is great. You know, I mean, as far as that's concerned and putting the program ahead, but you know, I'm not going to recruit another one. You know what I mean? I mean, it's only recruiting to a point. You're not replacing 80 goals.
No, probably not.
So
McKenzie, you had mentioned that you and the ladies had maybe felt, use the word slighted, that maybe you didn't get one of these trophies last year. How does it feel to come back after that disappointment and win this one this year?
It's huge, especially after the start that we had this year. And, you know, we thought we were going to be just as good because we only lost a few good players and we were bringing in another good recruiting class. So it was just huge to be able to come out with one. And, you know, no matter how the season ends, we have something to be proud of this season.
Do you have a feeling before games, Kins? Like, do you have a really good feeling that you're going to score tonight or today or whenever the game is?
I try not to think about scoring, but I actually do have dreams. Like, I kicked so hard in my sleep one night, it woke me up because I imagined me scoring a goal. But, yeah, I do see myself, like, scoring in certain ways. Like, even during the game, I'll be like, oh, I could do this and score. Or before both Washburn and UCM, me and Joe just looked at each other and we're like, we have a good feeling. Like, we were just talking with confidence. We're like, we've got this. I've got a good feeling. Like, we're going to win. So you do get feelings, and then sometimes you get games that you're so nervous that you can't even think about it, or you have some girls that only get nervous and stuff. So you just have to kind of balance it out between everyone and, you know, make everyone believe that we can do it.
Well, let's keep that feeling going for the NCAA tournament, which will begin this Friday, and we'll find out. Everybody's welcome. 5 o'clock, Kossover Tennis Center. We'll see you there. Thanks for joining us, McKenzie.
Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Coach Seiler can talk some other sports. You're listening to the Monday Morning Quarterback. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
We want you to feel good. Tune in for Feel Good Friday.
Making you feel good.
Friday after the local news during the 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. hours on KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM. Live and local.
QV
WOE Live and Local, and time now for a look at headlines being brought to you by ESB Insurance and Financial Services. They want to learn more about your situation and identify your goals. Call Carly Witt at 620-340-9921. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. Judging from the run-up, the 10th annual Match Day could be one to savor for the Emporia Community Foundation and the 35 participating nonprofits in Lyon and surrounding counties. Donating continues until midnight tonight online and through business hours at the Emporia Community Foundation office here today. Speaking of donating, the main event's Thursday, but you can already start bidding on nearly 25 items as part of the KVOE National Teachers Hall of Fame radio auction as we speak. Those items will be online till December 1st. The auction Thursday night from the Emporia State Federal Credit Union Industrial Road Branch Thursday evening starting at 6. And if you're needing a holiday pie, coffee cake, or rolls as Thanksgiving approaches, if you act fast, you can get one ordered through the Flint Hills Technical College's Culinary Arts Program as a fundraiser there. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team, sunny and 70 today, light southeast breeze this afternoon, clear and 40 tonight, sunny a bit breezier tomorrow at 68, and pretty calm Wednesday at 70. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. Currently a light northeast breeze, sunny skies, 58 degrees at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, all the information you need, live and local. Headlines are brought to you this hour by ESB Insurance and Financial Services, located in ESB Financial, 1111 Industrial Road. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance services offered through ESB Financial, not affiliated with Sage Point Financial, not FDIC insured, no bank guarantee, and may lose value.
Welcome back to the Monday Morning Quarterback. Marcus Urkel, Aaron Harder, Coach Brian Seiler, MIAA champion. In the studio, Steve Souter joining us by phone. Well, other than the soccer team, great victory by the football team.
Great
to go to 8-3, go out to Hayes, play a really a team that had been playing really good football in the Hayes Tigers, and really wasn't in much doubt. I know it only finished as a 3-point win, but they were up most of the game, and just another offensive showing like no other.
Well, and Braden Gleason just sets more records. Well-deserved.
And Tyler Common.
Tyler Common set some records. It was. I mean, even late when Hayes was scored their last touchdown. I mean, obviously there was only, 23 seconds, something like that left. But it just never felt like it was really in doubt. And I'm sure it was on the sidelines for Coach Higgins. But great win. And, you know, in hindsight, probably even more important win than we realized when Mo Western goes and gets beat by Southern. And so it sounds like Hayes isn't going to make a bowl game, which I thought they both would, to be honest with you. So big win. Awesome. They're going to get to continue to play, get to continue to practice, and have one more game. So,
Steve, thoughts on the football game? Is he still with us, Sean? Yeah, maybe he's doing something else.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. It's BG. We got to have him on the show last week. He was a great interview, and it was good that he didn't get the radio jinx because he played awesome this week. So, and Ross Brungart, since I need some work done out south.
Hey, he got a punt. He got a punt.
He had some great punts.
He did.
It's like 62, 57, 56, something like that, and he said it was windy down there, but a couple of them were into the wind. So he just continues to be an asset to the team. And whatever they play, wherever they play, I know they're going to be excited. I'm not sure when they officially announce where they're going to play.
They should know by the end of the week. I think it's looking like it'll probably be the Corsicana Bowl.
That's what I heard.
I think they're probably just waiting to.
Is that the same one they've been going
no,
to?
No.
They went to the Texarkana Bowl the game before.
Yeah, so
and
this one's
Corsicana,
down in Dallas.
It's got a different name now.
Yeah.
Steve, thoughts on the football game?
Yeah, I'm a little different than you guys. I thought going into the halftime that maybe Hayes had checked it in, and then I remembered it was Hayes, and they came back and played hard, and of course the Hornets were in that play not to lose, and your defense, you start playing your safeties back, and Hayes has got a really good offense. And I thought the Hornets, that fumble recovery was big, and that pass to TK was unbelievable, but I thought the Hornets responded really, really strongly. But, you know, you forget it's Hayes, and they're not going to give up, and I thought it was one of the better wins.
Yeah, I should preface with, I just felt like we always had the lead, and even when they scored to bring it within a one-score game, we knew we were getting the ball back, and it didn't seem like they were able to stop us.
Well, and our offense had gone into that mode, kind of like the Chiefs do when they got the lead in the fourth quarter. You start trying to run the football, and we weren't very successful running the football, and so then it set up third down plays, and Hayes did a good job, and we had a couple three and outs, and but at the end of the day, the Hornets prevailed.
Yeah, if there's one thing that the Hornets and the Chiefs seem to have in common, it's that when you play fast, it's hard to play slow when you want to slow the clock down. And so, I mean, but to Aaron's point, I'm with him. As I was listening, it just always felt like, hey, we're in the lead. We're gonna and knowing that if we need to score again, we can show we can do it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it was easy. It was not easy. No 45-42 win is going to be easy, but
48-45.
Sorry. So yeah, it was a great win, and the boys get to keep practicing and get to play one more game, which is fantastic.
That's pretty typical score, huh?
Yeah,
I mean, you see that all over college football.
Yeah, a lot of scoring.
Something for Marcus. When you're talking soccer and they're up 3-0,
nil,
it's not
3-0.
3-0. Yeah, it's 3-0,
nil.
Man.
Come My on, bad. That's on me. It's on me. I knew that. I only know that from Ted Lasso, though, so I should know better.
Yeah, there's no zeros in soccer unless it's the keeper's jersey.
0-0 is a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's on me.
Well, except Brian said 3-0 one time, then when he responded, so that. I just thought I'd put a dig in.
the Hornets hosted the MIAAGAC conference. I don't know what it was called.
Crossover.
The Lady Hornets lose both against good opponents. The men look really good on Saturday and pick up a couple big wins. And then volleyball's in the MIAA tournament. I don't remember what day they play. Wednesday or Thursday? One of the two. I think it is Wednesday. They're the 8 seed playing the 1 seed, but playing some really good volleyball late in the season.
Well, and it's a last year to this year, that's a great turnaround.
Oh, fantastic.
You're not going to start and come out and win it all, so
sure.
Just getting to the MIAA tournament is huge. So good luck to them.
Hey, let me ask a soccer question.
Sure.
Do we have a chance of hosting the regional?
I think anything's possible, Steve. I talked about the numbers. Our numbers went extremely – we were a 5, so the top two hosts, obviously. We were a 5, but since that 5 ranking, we beat the number 1 and the number 3. And everybody above us lost. The 1 – obviously, we beat the 1, we beat the 3, but the 2 didn't even make the final. They lost in the semis. And the other team was
the
Mankato.
The 4 lost in the first round.
The 4th lost in the first round. They haven't played in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So I think without
– We'll find out at 5:30, Steve.
Steve, I think we got a chance.
Yeah, that's – I hope you're at home. We've got our Saturday luncheon on Thursday, and I'd like to see McKenzie and Joni.
Yeah, that's true, and I got an RSVP for that, but I think with an asterisk because I don't know where we're.
You'll know going. Around 5:40 tonight.
Yeah. Well, Steve, you should, next time we got to pick it away from the the regionals.
Yeah, all these years you were probably free and clear. You're fine. Let's pick it as soon as the tournament's over. Now it's a different program.
Right.
K-State with a whooping against Baylor on Saturday, playing good football coming into the Sunflower Showdown this weekend. KU, who was playing fantastic football, hard to win when you're on your third string quarterback and your number one receiver is down. Gritty game against Texas Tech, but come up a little short, set up a Sunflower Showdown. You hope Jason Bean is back.
Yeah, and I know that at this level, and Coach Sauer could talk to this a little bit, I know that you're not supposed to be happy with moral victories. But once again, you know, if you think about KU for the past 14 years, if you take away last year, you know, that's a game that they get beat 100-0, right? Like, they have no chance. They don't have much chance with a backup quarterback, let alone a third string quarterback. So to be able to come down, and it was again, I get frustrated a little bit when I'm watching and I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, everything is fine. You're doing the right things, but the kid, I know he's not, doesn't have great numbers at this point, but that last drive, he completed some passes, and then you take the ball out of his hand. It's like, what are we doing on that third down and three play? Just either run the ball if you want to take it out of his hands, or let him throw it, but don't give it to a running back to throw it. Sometimes these coaches outguess themselves a little bit. And then, of course, prevent defense. You got to hate prevent defense. Texas Tech goes down and scores, but it'll be interesting. They need either Bean or Daniels to play next week if they want to have a chance against K-State, I think, no matter what. But I do think K-State fans, they understand this is not the same team that in the past.
You know how crazy it is? If I understand correctly, if Saturday Oklahoma State got beat, Oklahoma got beat, KU beat K-State, KU would be in the conference championship game.
Yeah, that was almost the most frustrating part. And, of course, again, when you get your third-string quarterback, it just is what it is. But if they would have won that game last week, they're sitting in the driver's seat with Oklahoma getting just absolutely rolled by UCF. Oklahoma State.
Yeah, you don't confuse my Oklahomas, my
That's
friend.
That's my bad.
But KU to have a chance or K-State to have a chance, Oklahoma State has got to lose. And I don't know who they play Saturday. But
they play at Houston, and Oklahoma plays at BYU. So you never know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, I got one for you. Getting away from college football. C.J. Stroud for MVP.
He's got Rookie of the Year in the bag. Why not get him MVP at this rate? I don't know. What, he's got 20 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, 2,600 yards, 5-4 on a team that was picking second last year.
We're 10 weeks into the season, and he's leading the league in passing yards per game and touchdown to interception ratio, and his QB rating is third. That's
if he's not getting votes, people aren't paying attention. That's for darn sure. He threw 10 weeks. I'll give it to him right now.
And the best thing is he just keeps doing the Chiefs favors by beating teams that are vying for the one seed.
The Chiefs had arguably their best weekend this week.
Oh, by far. By far. The 2 seed loses, the 3 seed loses, the 4 seed loses, and the 5 seed lose.
Yeah, unbelievable kid. Unbelievable talent. It goes back to, I think we talked about it a little bit last week. Sometimes you can outthink yourself in the draft. Take the kid that's 6'5", 260 pounds, that can throw the football, and trust that you can coach him, because His Wonderlic score may not have been great, but his football acumen is unbelievable. So, fun to watch.
A crazy NFL weekend, and Brian's team plays tonight, so we'll give him a chance to talk about that. But let's get our second break in. You're listening to the Monday Morning Quarterback. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local.
KVOE, live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines, being brought to you by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. Call 620-342-2613 when your car needs help. You don't have to go where anyone tells you, go where you want. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the sports you need, here is Blake Cripps.
Well, the Wildcats and the Jayhawks now know when they'll be playing the Sunflower Showdown this weekend. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff on FS1. Unfortunately, not quite a top 25 matchup, with the Jayhawks falling against Texas Tech last week, going to their third-string quarterback in the game. Meanwhile, the Wildcats romped to a win over Baylor. Wildcats back into the top 25. We'll have the game covered both ways. KVOE will have the KU coverage. Country 101.7 on Saturday will have the K-State Sports Network. Four area volleyball players and an area coach receiving honors from the Kansas Volleyball Association released on Sunday evening. Three volleyball players from Lebo were All-State. First-teamers Sage Hadley and Audrey Peak, and Abby Jones, a second-team selection for the Wolves. Hadley was the 1A Division II Player of the Year. Lebo coach Gina Peak, the class's Coach of the Year. Grace Coughlin of Volpe, honorable mention in Class 1A Division I. Wichita State men's basketball romped over Friends 95-65. Charles Cook Arena on Sunday. Four Shockers in double figures, led by Colby Rogers. They're back in action Thursday, a road trip to Coastal Carolina at the Myrtle Beach Invitational. Tip-off set for 3:30 p.m. Elsewhere over the weekend for the Hornets, number 20 men's basketball shot 51% from the field. They go 2-0 at the MIAA GAC Challenge, an 83-63 victory over Southwestern Oklahoma State. Lady Hornets still looking for their first win. They dropped a 65-54 decision to Harding in their second game of the challenge. That's sports. From the KVOE Sports Desk, I'm Blake Cripps.
Thank you, Blake. Sports headlines brought to you this hour by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive at 708 Lantern Lane. Information available in the Yellow Book and on the web at thurstonsplusautobody.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Morning Quarterback. Marcus Circle, Aaron Harder, Brian Seiler in studio. Steve Satter joining us by phone. Steve, just when we... You know, every week we're like, man, there were some good NFL games. It probably doesn't get much better than yesterday with five game-winning field goals with time expiring. How much NFL did you watch yesterday?
I watched all of it. I had red zone on. But the early games were good, and then the secondary games were just about as good. You're right. Five games decided by a field goal with literally no time left. NFL's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Like we said, Baltimore loses on a that game was a heck of a game. Just exactly what you didn't expect with Cleveland's defense and Baltimore's defense, an absolute shootout. And well, Baltimore was up by 14 like three different times, and Cleveland comes back, a gutty win, take them out. And then the Houston-Cincinnati game that you talked about, Cincinnati drops a touchdown late, settles for a game-tying field goal, and then young Mr. Stroud comes down with a minute left and gets them a game-winning field goal.
Pretty interesting.
You know, I think it's... go ahead.
It just quickly, is there Hornet Talk today?
There is. Hornet Talk starts at 12:20 today. I'm not sure if he's going to get Coach Higgins in there or not, or if he's going to wait until the bowl week, but it is a basketball Hornet Talk today, starting at 12:20 at Bruff's. Get out there at noon.
Who's on Monday night?
Denver.
Oh, I know.
At Buffalo.
The Bills and the Broncos,
no,
Steve.
Not the Bills, Steve. Not the Bills. The Broncos. We know.
Coach Seiler claims to be a Denver Broncos fan.
It's funny because my mom texted me today, who's going to win tonight? Of course, grew up in Rochester, New York.
Ah, yeah.
Spent many a days in Rich Stadium wearing the orange and blue. They didn't like it very much up there in Buffalo. But, yeah, so my mother, of course, she just giving me crap. But I said, well, Broncos are going to win. And so,
well, I'd be all right with that, to be honest with you.
Bills need this one. Unfortunately, Bills need this one. So I think it's going to be hard. But we'll see. I think we're playing better. And I think the NFL has been crazy this year because even the teams you think that have given up, like the Cardinals, I mean, they're not. No one's giving up.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, I think that it kind of speaks to what I was going to say with Baltimore. Last year, everybody anointed Baltimore this great team, the best team in the NFL by far, heads and shoulders above everybody else. And the reality is first of all, I don't think Baltimore's really good against NFC teams. They've been really good against NFC teams ever since Lamar Jackson took over. But when they get in their own division, they struggle, and it just is what it is.
And their division is tough.
And their division is super tough. But the reality is, there's a reason that the term "any given Sunday" is a term, and that's where we're at. And there's really good football teams all over, and there's really bad teams. When they play each other, you don't really know, and it really lends to how important the quarterback position is and the coach is. And I think that you see just some bad coaching, some bad decisions, and in the NFL, when you make those bad decisions, you're going to lose. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You don't get a break of, oh, we'll get to play the Cardinals this week, because the Cardinals are terrible. The Cardinals are terrible. But they can still win. And that's what the NFL has figured out that other sports haven't quite figured out yet.
They had Kyler Murray back, and he played well.
That helps.
He played really well. One clarification. Today's Hornet Talk is football only.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Basketball will start next week.
I understood differently, but that's good. I'm glad we got that clarified. Hey, let me do a little personal deal here. You know, you get old, and my situation, you can't compete anymore, so you got to have external things, and my deal's fantasy. I'm leading our fantasy league. We have big games. Scott Hayes. Scotty's in second place with 3 losses. I had 2 losses. Last night before I go to bed, I decided I'll go check. Well, not before I go to bed. Actually, it was middle of the afternoon. I decided to check fantasy and see what was going on. Scott's ahead of me 37-0.
Oh, my.
But then I had the Chargers. And I had Eckler and Keenan Allen. And their kicker.
And Cameron Dicker.
And I scored 26 points, and he's out of players. And I've got Justin Allen, Josh Allen, Greg Davis, and my good buddy Cortland Sutton, Coach.
All right.
Yeah, you're all right. Steve, you're projected to win this
Steve,
thing.
Steve, I'm looking at your fantasy team. You have 3 Chargers, a Bronco, and 2 Buffalo players.
Yep.
And he's in first place.
And he's in first place.
I played everybody's one in a bye yesterday. So if Josh Allen just keeps doing what he's been doing for me, he'll score 12 points by himself. But
well, you know who Marcus and I are rooting for. It's not Scott.
Well, sure.
Scott had a nice lead. Hey, happy birthday,
if
Scott.
If I pull it off, I'll have a commanding lead.
Scott
I'm
had
brag about something.
Yeah. Scott had his team score his birth years in a game yesterday. How cool is that? Do you think that was set up? We always talk about the scripted NFL. It's got to be scripted that the Cowboys scored 49 points yesterday, didn't it?
Yes.
Huh?
Oh, I thought Sean and I thought you meant his fantasy team scored 37 points for 1937. His birth year.
That's pretty good, too.
That's what we thought you meant. I saw you look over, Sean. No, that is,
Here's another football deal. Did you see the story about Jimbo?
Fisher?
Texas A&M coach.
Yeah, Fisher. Jimbo Fisher. It's awesome, isn't it? Good for him.
They got fired. The buyout, $76 million.
And it would have never, I mean, they're Texas A&M was paying him $76 million no matter if he was coaching or not.
$76 million not to coach.
I saw a stat yesterday, Steve. His first GA job or his first college coaching job in I don't remember what year, 98 or something, he made $24,000. He is now going to make $26,000 and change every day until 2031. Yeah, but
I mean, it doesn't have a headache of playing in the SEC,
right?
Huh?
Yeah, there's no money in college football for the players.
Zach, that's the biggest thing right there. What the takeaway for me was that right there. Let's transition this because I actually wanted to talk about Harbaugh.
Go ahead.
This would be a good question for Coach Siler too, who's a college coach here. This Michigan situation feels very much, I saw this analogy, and I really liked it. When I go down the highway in a 75-mile-an-hour zone, I go 80. Okay? Aaron, you might go 84.
83 is what I did to Wichita.
83. Yeah. And then some people might go 86. Now, they're all wrong, right? We should be going 75. It's a speed limit. It's 75.
I'll say one thing real quick. We passed both the Central Missouri bus and the Emporia State bus. One of them was doing way less than 70. I don't know what time they got back to Central. The other bus had a little juice in their step.
That was our bus, right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
we had a little juice.
My point being that there's trying to figure out the other team's signals is not anything new. Like, that's been done for years and years and years. All through sports, you're trying to get an edge. Maybe Michigan went a little too far. My question, Coach Seiler, to you as a college coach, like, when you see something like this, is it roll your eyes, just the NCAA, look, you're trying to do what you can do, and this is ridiculous, or is it, man, this guy was cheating. They're cheating, they're a bunch of cheaters, and they need to be penalized. Like, I can't figure out this story. I go back and forth with it both.
It definitely puts the commissioner in a tough spot.
Oh, there's no question.
Because I'm sure he's hearing from every other AD and coach.
They had a conference call with 13 of the coaches, which is unheard of.
I think there's there's gray area, and I think you cross a line. And I would say in this case, you see some of the pictures that have come out, you see some of the stories. I think you've crossed the line. I mean, especially if there's electronic, if there's videotaping and stuff like that. I mean, that's not black and white. Like that is supposed. You can go there. You can watch. You can see. But you can't.
You can call your buddy that played them the week before and get their signals.
Right. There's a lot you can do to gain some information, but once you, if you step over the line and you're so arrogant about it, I think
the hardest part is now they have set a precedent in the Big Ten.
This is where this all comes to me. I think your comment is fantastic. I think people don't like Jim Harbaugh, so he's an easy target because he's arrogant. There's no question about it, right? Yeah. If he was more likable, I don't know that it's much of a story. And that's where I'm struggling with this a little bit, because it's like, are you going to try and tell me Ryan Day is not trying to figure out Michigan signs? There's no way. Is it really just the fact that the kid's sitting there with a cell phone?
Other teams have admitted. I mean, Brett Bielema came on and said, we've done this ever since I've started coaching. We try to get the other team's signs because it's an advantage.
And once again, when you see $76 million buyouts for the NCAA in an NCAA deal, and you can't just give the kids earphones like the NFL, that's part of your own fault too. You're running down this road knowing full well that you're gonna. At some points, it's gonna be a problem. And
way less signs. Less signs to be stolen if you can talk in a kid's ear.
So this story's crazy to me. I think it's very intriguing. We have to keep an eye on it. I will admit I'm a Harbaugh fan, and I should be. I mean, he changed the 49ers around and got them back to being good. So I do like Harbaugh, and so I'm a little biased because I don't want him to get in trouble. But to me, it just seems like once again, the NCAA is overreacting to a problem that they could have stopped themselves a long time ago and chose not to.
Well, you might have a third NFL team because this is a good opportunity for him to leave and go back to the NFL.
Well, I won't change. I'll stick with two NFL teams. But.
I think they've turned something into, it shouldn't have been a big deal, a big deal, because maybe for their arrogance, to be honest with you.
Right. Okay, we'll recap. 12:20 today, Hornet Talk at Bruff's Sports Bar and Grill. Be there in person around noon or listen to it on Mix 104.9. ESU Soccer Watch Party, Kossover Family Tennis Center. 5 o'clock doors open. The seeds will start coming out at 5:30. And then Friday will be your first game. We all here wish you the best of luck.
Yes, we do.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Chiefs bye week this last weekend. They will play. We'll have another quarterback show before they play because they're the following Monday night game.
Against the Eagles.
KUK State this Saturday, 6 p.m., I believe, is the game time. That should be a fun one. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Coach Seiler and Mackenzie DeMarco for joining us, and Blake Cripps. For Steve and Marcus, you've been listening to the Monday Morning Quarterback. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
live and local. 1400 AM.